June 22nd, 1977. Screaming tires. That's what wakes me. In a millisecond, a colossal weight strikes my shoulder and pounds my chest. The pain is searing and brief. Instantly, the soul of my body takes flight, and the pain seems to take flight with the soul. What remains is some vestige of the body, left to feel the intense weight, not the pain of it, but the heaviness of it. It is a weight so heavy, it's like a deep grief, the way it constricts the heart, heavy like that, even heavier. The cool night air surrounds me. Tent walls are torn away and no longer close me in. My lungs gasp under this weight, which my mind, now cut loose, floating in the blackness, surprisingly clear and aware, is trying to identify. Reason tells me I am pinned under the wheels of a vehicle. But why? A picture arises in my mind, drunk teenagers. I'd watch them mindlessly cruise the looped park road after dark. Surely they careened over the curb and dumbly struck our tent, ignorant of their malevolence. But why is it taking so long? My lungs suck in another thimble of air. My ears reach into the darkness, anticipating their sloppy laughter, but there is only silence. I wait in the darkness and listen for a sound that will tell me anything at all. It comes from above. I hear someone stepping down from a place high above. The silence is peculiar now. The silence is ominous. No, this is not a band of drunks. Sounds drift to my ears from a single point, telling me that only one person is here with me now. I picture a man. What does he want? There is Shayna's voice, sharp, high-pitched, aggressive. Leave us alone. Then a thudding sound, something soft absorbing a blow, several more thuds. Seven in all, I later tell police. Truthfully, I'm not certain how many there are, but many more than are needed to silence her. Then more silence. Intense physical silence. My surreally agile mind is sure of the answer now. The lone man is a psycho, and the psycho is a murderer. That insight doesn't fill me with terror. I'm aware that terror is irrelevant just now. Rather, I'm puzzled. Why hasn't the tonnage flattened me dead? I wait for death to come. Ears click on. More sounds. I make out that the man is stepping up into the thing above me. An engine revs. The impossible weight moves, releases me. My chest heaves, gulping air. I'm giddy with oxygen. Life flows back. Busy now with breathing, I pay no attention to him. A starburst explodes in my head. Then another. I'm thrashing from side to side. My eyes flutter open to a piece of wood laying blows on me. Darkness again. I forget my eyes. My fingers are alert, grabbing the end of what is striking me, feeling not wood, but the curve of cool metal. The screen in front of my retina displays a brilliant show of light. A warm tingle rushes and spreads across my body. Consciousness darkens, ebbs away. Yet a flicker remains alive to take note. This is what dying is.